And I really just sort of really felt that there were a lot of people that were under attack, and maybe we just needed some principles for victory. And I was just reminded, as somebody was talking with me, and I just sort of stood back and thought to myself that over the last couple of months, we've had more people in hospital than I can ever remember. But then not only that, the people that are laid low, should I say, you know, people who feel very low, people who feel very lost in a fog. And I've just lost the spark of life, just lost the joy of the Lord. And as I start thinking about it, there are probably more people in the congregation than ever before at any one time who are feeling low. And then other incidences, such as people who are in their job situations, their integrity being challenged. And maybe in their job situations or in their personal circumstances, you know, the enemy is coming strong against us personally, physically, mentally, and in all kinds of ways. But not only against us personally, but against us, our families.
Is something happening here? Is the enemy having a good old kicking? And is there any reason why the enemy is having a good old kicking? And then I started thinking, well, perhaps, is it any coincidence that since we declared that God had given us this new church building, that the enemy would come in strong against us and try to discourage us, try to make us doubt, try to pull us down, try to knock us off course, try to just get us into a position where we're just collapsing in a heap and saying, oh, I don't know. So tonight I want to bring a word that encourages us or bring some principles for victory, so that when the enemy comes against us, which he will, and it's good that he is in many ways, because you've heard me say before that if we're walking in the same direction, it means, if the enemy's not bumping into us, it means that we're walking in the same direction as him. So in many ways, it's good that we're ruffling some feathers. But as we ruffle the feathers, we just need to be able to stand firm and come up standing the other side. Amen?
Amen.
So this message is born from that kind of situation. And the enemy comes against us, and maybe, we'll read this first and then I'll get cracking. So this message is more off the cuff than anything else. Okay, so finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Put on the full armour of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. So number one, I said, know your enemy. Know it's the enemy that's coming against us. It's not your boss at work that's angry with you. It's the enemy that's provoking your boss to be angry with you. The enemy is behind many of the things that are coming of us. And be aware of the devil's schemes. Be aware that he's out to get you. Be aware that his prime goal in the enemy's life is to discourage us and is to make us doubt. You know, that's what the enemy's scheme idea is. He's out to trick us, he's out to trap us, he's out to make us doubt. You've seen in the news today that I didn't see it on Songs of Praise. Did anybody see Songs of Praise before they came out? Mm-hmm. Apparently it's been reported that Justin Welby was on that, the Archbishop of Canterbury. Yeah. You saw him being interviewed by Alid Jones and talking about the terrorist things in Paris and all around the world. And apparently he said, this has made, when I first heard about this, it made me doubt in God. It put a chink in my armour. It made me doubt, where was God in all of this? And he goes on to explain how God gave him the psalm which says he gathers the tears in our bottle. So, you know, there's a good outcome. But the point that I'm making is that when the enemy throws all these things at us, his goal is to make us doubt. And if the Bishop of Canterbury can doubt the goodness of God sometimes. Hey, can't we? You know, let's just be honest with ourselves that sometimes when these things happen to us, you know, where is God? Where are you, God? Recognize then that it is the enemy's ploy, it is the enemy's tactic to make you doubt and to destroy you and to knock us off course. So the fundamental principle of warfare is to know your enemy. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces and evil in the heavenly realms. It's not man that we're fighting, it's the devil we're fighting. It's not a gun we need, but spiritual weapons and spiritual defences. So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. A long time ago, I used to know some people, they are since in glory now, but whenever you met them, I used to say to them, how are you doing? And they said, I'm hanging on. You met people like that, I'm hanging on. And hanging on for Jesus, hanging on for glory, you know, sort of, we're just hanging on there, waiting on till he comes again. Next week you'd go, and now you do, I'm still hanging on, as if they were just on the edge of a cliff, you know, and the abyss below them, but they were just hanging on by the tips of their fingernails, waiting for Jesus to return. Now, you know, I'm not wishing to be rude about that person, don't get me wrong, and, you know, I think we've all said that somewhere along the line ourselves. But the point that I want to make is that, yes, there will be complete victory when we meet Jesus in glory, but Jesus wants us to know victory today as well. He doesn't want us to flop over the finish line, you know, just got there, but he wants us to stand. And be standing. And know triumph against the enemy. So these are some principles for triumph. Principles for victory. God doesn't want us just to know triumph from heaven. He wants us to be able to stand in victory. It's today. It's not just standing your ground and then collapsing in a heap. It's winning the battle and still being able to stand up afterwards. So, first of all, know the enemy is coming against us. So don't blame people. Blame the enemy. Number two. So here's some big principles for victory. Stay close to God. Spend time with God. Psalm 32:6 says this. Therefore let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You know, so here we have a principle, if we stay close to God, you know, the enemy is not going to be able to get hold of us. You know, when the, you see these David Attenborough films, don't you, and the leopards and the tigers chasing after the antelope. The leopard or the tiger always goes for the one that is out of the pack, that is far away from the pack, the weakest one. And if we're not close to God, we're going to be weak and we're easy pickings for the enemy. So the first principle that we have here is stay close to God. What does Psalm 91 say? I think that's the next scripture, Rebecca. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Joyce Meyer, she says this, when we spend time with God, he becomes our protection, our stability, our place of refuge, and the source of help in every circumstance. Now, I'm not suggesting that everybody who is coming under attack has strayed away from God, but I'm just saying here that there's a principle of victory to stay close to God. Because there is a tendency when the enemy comes against us, we veer away from God. So a little bit more about that in a moment. So we stay close to God. Make his word central to our lives. Jose Henriquez. Don't know whether I've pronounced that right. I won't say it again. Jose. We just call him Jose from now on. Jose was one of these fellas that, I don't know whether you can remember, in 2010 there was a group of Chilean miners that got trapped underground in a copper mine, didn't they? There were 33 of them. And Jose, he's since written the book. about his experiences. Sorry?
Mortal in the mind.
You've got it, have you? Have you got it?
Yeah.
I'd like to read it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, miracle in the mine. The story goes that he's down there in the mine with 32 other people, and they're trapped. They're trapped down there for 69 days, and the rescuers on the surface are going to are planning how they're going to get them out. And Jose is an evangelical preacher, part-time preacher. So he gathers the men and he gets them praying morning and night. And he gets them praying and trusting in God. And so up on surface, the rescuers are up there. They bore a hole right down to where they are in the little cavern, in the little place of safety where they are. They send a little canister down there, which is going to be the supply line for food and water and everything else like that until they manage to find a way where they can just release them. So they get a little ball hole down there, enough to get a canister down there, and they send it down. And they're up and down with little messages to one another. So they send the little canister down, a bit of paper, and it says, please write down what you need. 33 Bibles. 33 Bibles is what they need. And we can borrow the book after Ellen's lent it to me. Read the story about how when they came out, they were full of praises for God. They stayed close to them. The enemy had not touched them. They won the victory because they stayed close to God. The story goes, when he came out, Jose went to the medics and they did the psychological report, they did the psych report, they did the medical report, and he was 100% clean. 100% fit. Why? In those circumstances, because he remained close to God. So if we're going to know victory in our life, if we're going to know protection from God, we're going to need to stay close to God. The enemy will come against us, but we're going to come out in victory when we stay close to him. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance me to devour flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of you, Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. In the day of trouble, when the enemy comes against me, God will keep me safe. God's presence is more important for us than anything else. Exodus 33:15. Then Moses said to God, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not send us up from here. Children of Israel always sent the Ark of the Covenant into battle first because it carried the presence of God. We will not move forward in any direction without the presence of God. If we want the anointing of God in our lives, we must spend time with God. Spending time with God will make you the person that God wants you to be, not the person the world or the devil wants you to be. It means to spend time with God. Spending time with God is very important. It needs to be a priority in our lives. Because we need to be influenced by what God says rather than what the world says. What the world is full of is what the devil tells is full of. So therefore we need to make reading the scripture a priority above the examiner, above watching the television. We need to be spending time with God more important because we need to be influenced by God more than we do by the world. Choripedia. Did you know there was such a thing, Frank, as Choripedia?
No.
Choripedia has facts about Coronation Street. Anybody like Coronation Street? Well, I hope not, because I'm about to rubbish it. All right? I'm just using this to illustrate a point that how we need to prioritise time with God over some rubbish that we see on television. During the life of Coronation Street, this is Choripedia, there have been a total of 165 deaths. And if you go on to Tinternet, you can read them all. 23rd of September 2015, so just a couple of months ago, Callum Logan was bludgeoned over the head by Carly Platt. Tina McIntyre on the 2nd of June 2014 died from injuries sustained after being viciously assaulted by Rob Donovan. Leslie Kershaw electrocuted whilst putting the toaster into the sink. Edna Hargreaves died under a hairdryer at Audrey's Salon. Charlotte Hoyle on the 10th of December 2010 hit in the head with a hammer by John Stape. Molly Dobbs, 9th of December 2010, killed when a tram crashed into the corner shop. Joe McIntyre accidentally drowned in Lake Windermere whilst faking his own death. And it goes on and on and on. And we're laughing. But when we feed ourselves with this kind of stuff, we feed ourselves with the world's rubbish that is discouraging and draws us away from God rather than closer to Him. If we're feeding ourselves with death, what are we going to be thinking about all the time is death. You know, sometimes, you know, send our kids out doing this Halloween stuff and dressing them up in all gory stuff and send them out with pickaxes and goodness knows what, and they come home and they say, "Mom, I can't sleep." Is it surprising? No, it's not. We need to stay close to God. If we want the anointing of God in our lives, we must spend time with God. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm talking about principles for victory here, and you know, it's not only sort of victory over the enemy and, you know, coming against us, but it is victory in our walk with God, because we want to be people who are always walking in victory. And if we're going to be doing that, we need to be spending time with God. Oh, you know, and you and I reckon if I said a show of hands, who wants, you know, to know the anointing and the power of God in their lives? You know, who wants to be able to come and pray with people and just see God move powerfully in their lives and the cancer's healed, and you know, we're seeing that, I know, amongst some of us, but all of us would love to know that in our lives. The preaching of the word so that it cuts to the heart and people are saved. We want to know that presence of God, that power of God in our lives. We want to know victory over the enemy who comes against us. It won't happen unless we spend time with God. So there's a principle for victory in our lives. I'm noticing the time already, okay, and I've only done point number one. Okay, when Moses came down from the Sinai with two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Moses wasn't aware, but it was, because he'd spent time with the Lord. His face was radiant. Point number three, stay calm. Keep calm and carry on. Just a very quick scripture from Acts 27, and I'll probably just keep. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Acts 27. Okay, so this is the story of the shipwreck that Paul was on. You know, he was going to Rome, he was going to go and meet Caesar, and on the way there was a storm and there was a shipwreck and they threw the cargo overboard. I'm just making the point here that during a storm, when the enemy comes against them, people panic and throw everything that is valuable away. The first thing that I reckon that people do is that they throw common sense out the window. Throw common sense overboard. And they start making rash decisions. Rash decisions about their relationships. You know, people that were once their friends, people that they used to hang out with, they ditched them. You know, some of their best friends. Well, sometimes some of our best friends, some of our best Christian friends, are the people that you need to stay close to, because those are the kind of people that can encourage you.
That's
right. Mm-hmm. Throw away relationships, throw away our money, make rash decisions. When the enemy comes against you, He will always try to force you into a corner to make you make a decision that is a rash decision and is the wrong decision. Here's a maxim for you. Decisions made in a hurry are always the worst decisions. Do you remember those double glazing people that used to knock on the door a long time ago? You're too young for this, Rebecca. All right? Long time ago, you used to have people that, you know, you didn't have people that used to ring you up and say, can you do a survey? You used to have people knocking on your door every other day saying, do you want double glazing? And they'd come in and they'd say, oh, yes, we can do this and we can do that. And, oh, it's going to cost you £5,000, Mr. Sharp, to do all this, lot, and the other, and have the keys that you want, the security locks that you want, oh, and the nice little bit of lead in that. Yeah, well, it'll cost you £5,000. But I tell you what, I've just spoken to my manager.
Yes.
And he said that if you agree tonight to have it, you can have it for four. That's, you've had that as well, Frank?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you had it as well, Frank. Well, don't ever fall for that. They're wanting you to rush to make a decision without thinking about it. Because when in the cold light of day, when you think about it, you think, oh, dearie me, I could have got it for three from the other fella. You see, and the enemy is subtle, is like that as well. He tries to make you make a decision, get rash with making decisions, and you... So always stay calm. When the enemy pushes you into a corner, when there is a decision to be made, stay calm and don't be rushed. Don't follow the devil's agenda, in other words. I remember some years ago, Peter Hannam, who was the pastor at the Huddersfield Church, very wise man, and Gail and I were ministering to this young teenager. She was at university, having a lot of problems, and we were sort of doing the Freedom in Christ bit, and we were asking her about everything that she'd been involved in. And, you know, so there's a little checklist at the back of the Freedom in Christ book, isn't there? I don't know whether you're familiar with this, but it was one of these things that pastors might ask people, just to gauge where people are at so that they can know how to pray. Have you ever been involved in tarot cards? Yes. Have you done Ouija boards? Yes. Have you done crystals? Yes. Have you been involved in Jehovah's Witnesses? Yes. Have you been involved in Zoroastrianism? Yes. Have you been doing this? Yes. Have you been doing that? Yes. Yeah. There was a tick against every bit in the book, wasn't there, girl? And so after the morning service, we said, Pastor Adam, we've got to pray with this girl quick. You know.
He says,
What's the hurry? We're just going to take things calmly and we're just going to do things gently. We are not going to follow the devil's agenda. We're going to follow God's agenda. So whenever the enemy pushes you in a corner, whenever he's saying, make a decision quick. No. There's no need to make a quick decision. So when the enemy comes against you, don't throw away your common sense. One last scripture. We took such a violent battering from the storm that next day, they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Alright, so the cargo is everything valuable, but then they threw over the tackle, the mechanisms for life. A ship isn't a ship without its tackle. A ship without its tackle isn't a ship. A life without God isn't a life. When the enemy comes against us, and there's challenges in our life, maybe there's mental issues, maybe there's physical issues, maybe there's work issues, maybe there's relationship issues. Sometimes people throw God out the window, throw God overboard. And they say, well, if this is what it means being a Christian, I don't want to know. And I tell you this as an illustration, but it's very, very true, and it's 100% bona fide, and it's sad. But yet, we will laugh probably when I tell you the illustration, but how many of us have not wanted to do the same thing sometime in our life? Lady rang me up and said, Ian, She says, I've gone through every house. God's got it in for me. I've gone through every room in my house. And I've picked up every Bible that I can find. My Bible, everybody's Bible in the house, every Bible that I can find, and I've collected them together, and I've put them in a big box, and I've just been up to the tip in Meltham and thrown them all away. Why? Because the enemy had come strong against her, and instead of running to God, she ran from God, and she threw him overboard. When the enemy comes against us, we need to run to God, not from God. We need to pick our Bible up, not put it down. We need to come to church, not stay at home. We need to meet with him, not stay away from him. That is the second principle of victory, to stay calm. When the devil attacks, we need to run to God, not from him. I've spoken long enough, and there I will leave it. But I want us to respond in a number of ways tonight. I think that we need to respond personally in the sense that, yes, I want more of you. But I wonder whether we need to pray for those that are under attack at the moment. And pray that they might know the encouragement of God. And that in their time of need that they would look to him. And find strength from him. There are many people that we know as well, I guess, that over the years, you know, we call them prodigals, don't we? You know, people that have been in church, maybe for years and years, and there's something that happens to them, and they drop off from attending church altogether, and, you know, you don't see them at all. You know, we all know loads of people like that, don't we? You know, if everybody that was once a member of the church came back to be a member of the church, you know, we'd need 10 churches to fill tonight. So maybe you know those kind of people where something's happened in their lives and they've turned their back on God. Something's happened and they've done more than a Justin Welby and said it made me doubt and put a chink in my armour. It knocked them over once and for all. Or not for all, but God still loves them and wants them back. Maybe you can do your part and encourage them to come back to God. Let's pray, shall we? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Sometimes, Lord, we feel overwhelmed by the enemy coming against us. We feel that he's coming against us like a flood. And once we stand up sometimes, then there's another wave that comes and knocks us again. Sometimes we identify with that woman that I knew 20 years ago who said, I'm just hanging on. Sometimes we just want to hide, Lord. Sometimes we just want to just run away. Father, instead of being overwhelmed by what the enemy might be throwing at us, Father, we want to be overwhelmed by you. And so, Lord, we pray that indeed that we would stay close to you, that we would stay calm, that we would just know your presence with us. And as your presence is with us, then we will know victory in the battles that the enemy fights against us. Father, help us to stay calm, confident in you, not panicked by the enemy. And Father, like the Chilean miner who was confident in your word and studied your word when calamity came against him, Father, he was able to remain standing. So Father, help us to look to you so that we stand against the enemy and no triumph in our lives. Father, we not only pray that for ourselves, but we pray for others who are facing onslaught from many directions. Some who are laid low, some who are physically facing physical challenges, some that are facing relationship challenges, challenges at work. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be with them and that you would strengthen them, and as they stay close to you, Father, that they would know the joy of the Lord is their strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, as we conclude now, we just remember all of those people that we know that used to love you, that used to be the first out to share a blessing, that were the first out to praise your name, who were the first at a meeting, that were, and yet now they've turned their back on you, they've run away from you, they've put you over the side. And Father, help us to encourage them back in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.